You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Picture it, Los Angeles, 2023.
Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever going to need to listen to. Who am I? I'm Sadie Pine / H. Allen Scott. Thank you very much.
And I'm Carrie Doherty.
And this is a podcast where we used to watch an episode of the Golden Girls and then talk about it, but we ran out of those episodes. And then we went through all the Golden Pals and ran out of those episodes too. So now, what do we do, Carrie? What do we do?
Whatever the hell we want.
That's right.
Yes, today we are doing another Golden Rewind where we go back and rewatch our favorite episodes of the Golden Girls and re-talk about them and offer new insights since we first started breaking down these episodes way back in 2014 when we were babies.
And there's something that tells me that we have a special guest on who's going to announce the episode that they chose for us to watch today. Who is that special guest, Carrie? Who do you think it is?
I think we should just let our guest say which episode, and then I think everybody will know who our guest is.
Go ahead, special guest.
The name of the episode is Journey to the Center of Attention.
Dorothy's Bornak, everybody.
B. Arthur.
Yay!
Back from the grave.
Welcome, Alaska Thunderfuck. How are you?
Yeah, how's it going? I'm doing great. Thank you. My name is Alaska. I'm a good speller. I'm very prompt. And that's it. That's all I got.
Do you know how to chuck the corn right off?
I do.
Chuck the corn right off.
Do you also sing down at the library?
I do, yes. Yeah, I just go down to the library and start singing.
What made you want to choose this episode, Alaska?
This is one of those ones that, because my best friend Jeremy and I bond over the Golden Girls so much. And this is one of the ones that...
Jeremy gave me my drag name. Jeremy's the birther of my...
Really? She is?
Yep. That's how I got it. When, in a text chain with both of you, but Jeremy's the one who actually did it.
I always, in my mind, pronounce your drag name as Sadie Pinies because I like, put a tilde over the N. And
I love that. I love that. I mean, I wish I had that.
Right.
But, yeah.
No, Jeremy and I love this episode. It's one of our regular ones in regular rotation. And anytime we get to see the girls like performing and singing is like peak Golden Girls to me.
And we are going to get into all of that in this episode, but we should, before we get started, acknowledge that you're kind of our boss now, Alaska.
You're fired. Everyone is fired.
No, we're so glad to be a part of Mom.
I'm so glad too. No, it's really amazing. Like, it's a family that keeps expanding, and I love that.
We're so excited to be a part of it. And it just feels like, I think H. Allen, when we made the announcement, H. Allen called it, we're coming home. And it just feels like,
we're coming home.
That felt like a very appropriate way to put it, that like, what better place to have a Golden Girls podcast than with like the mother of Golden Girls fandom, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. And it makes total sense because we stole the idea for Race Chaser from the format of your show. Directly.
Yeah. No, I think we probably talked about this back in, when did you first do the podcast? I think in 2016. Because
wow.
I remember we recorded the podcast the week you won All Stars, like literally that week, because you texted me. I asked you, like, when should we release this? And you just like hinted, being like, I think you should release it this week.
Wow. The power.
Yeah, no idea. I don't think it hadn't aired yet, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It hadn't aired yet. And so it was going on. It was in the ether. And but you knew something. Wink, wink. And so I think, like, when did you start listening to the podcast?
I started, it was around when we went to Burning Man, which I think was 2016. Willem and I went to Burning Man. And so I'm not really good at years and details, but it must have been around there. And it was the only podcast in my, you have like the app or what I use, like Casts or whatever it is, because Apple wouldn't work at the time. So I got like a podcast app. Out on the Lanai was the only one. It was my gateway into even being into podcasts at all.
Oh, that makes me so happy, because podcasting is such like a part of our lives, but also like Carrie and I think we're kind of early in, like, podcasts had been around, but like there hadn't been many recap podcasts.
Yeah.
I remember telling Carrie, like, I don't want to do it if someone else is doing it. Like, if someone else is doing a podcast about the Golden Girls, I don't want to do it. And we did it. And now there's like so many, but it makes me really proud that like we were able to not necessarily inspire these other Golden Girls podcasts, but kind of like give a template for how things can be done for a recap podcast. Because there was another one. There was the Saved by the Bell one.
Yeah,
but there
really weren't that many. Richardson's Saved by the Bell. And that's what gave me the idea to do a Golden Girls rewatch podcast, because April Richardson was doing it with Saved by the Bell. And at the time was the only rewatch podcast I had ever heard of. Because this was back in 2013, 2014. So
that's so wild.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild to think about how we've all influenced sort of like each other in weird ways?
It's really wild.
It's a real beautiful, like, human centipede of goldenness is really what it is.
And the fact that we're not, I once did a weird comedy video about human centipede where I had to wear a wig and have my face like sewn to someone else's butt. And it was a weird, it never saw the light of day.
Are you sure you weren't just in the movie?
It did. No, I wasn't in the movie, okay. But it did air. It was at some like horror film festival. And it's because someone texted me about it being like, I think I just saw you in this thing. No, but it is. So it does feel very full circle to be coming back and be a part of Mom. And because, you know, meeting you, we've become good friends and you've influenced my drag so much. And of course, Golden Girls has been such a big, doing the podcast is such a big, been such a huge part of becoming Sadie in a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
That it kind of feels like we should be with Mom podcast. We should be with we should be a part of this and a part of what you're doing for drag, especially at a time right now when like drag is having a very dark, not drag isn't having a dark moment, but people are having a dark moment in relation to drag. And so I love what Mom is out there sort of just putting drag into the world and really just sort of making it accessible to so many different people and showing that it's okay.
Yeah.
Nothing to be scared of, people. Jesus Christ.
That's usually how people describe my drag. It's okay. No, I'm just kidding. No, everyone is like, all the names of these like fundraisers or like our things are like, we're doing one called Drag is Good and we're doing it in Nashville. Yeah. There's a like a telethon one that's called Drag Isn't Dangerous. And I'm like, well, some drag is dangerous and some drag isn't good, but these are fine titles. They're fine.
I've been to a meatball show. I've been to many of meatball shows where I've had food thrown towards me in a direction. So like drag can be dangerous.
Yes, it can, but it shouldn't be illegal for fuck's sake.
No, it shouldn't be illegal. And it's so fantastic what you, Willem, Meatball, who else is going to Tennessee in April?
Oh my gosh, a whole bunch of Eureka's going to be down there. When does this come out? This episode?
This Thursday, this week, was Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. Everyone listening is hearing it in.
I don't know when they're announcing.
So 2 days from now.
I don't know when they're announcing the rest of the cast, because people are sort of jumping on and like everyone wants to be a part of it. So I'm going to wait and let the.
It's so exciting. I really hope. I mean, I don't know if like I know Willem. There was something about Willem like walking down the street and I want Willem to get arrested. Someone should arrest her. No, but I want those pictures. And I love that you guys are doing that, because it's so important right now. Like there's so much going on that like for you two to put your names behind it and also like plan something so big for a lot of queens in Tennessee, queens and kings who do drag. It's just so important right now because it's really scary.
Yeah, it's really dumb. And unfortunately, it's a big distraction as well from, I mean, it's a detour from really the issues that are like actually hurting the world, climate change and people can't have enough money to live, like working 10 jobs. Oh, yeah.
Guns. Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot. It's one big smoke show of sort of like, look over there, to quote, do a Drag Race quote. Like, it is just very much like a distraction. And it's, I think the more we do shows in Tennessee and we tip local queens and kings in Tennessee, the better we'll be off. Because, like, I did an interview with Fenton Bailey about his new book, Screen Age. Mm-hmm. And we were talking at the end of the interview about how one of the things from history that shows us is that things like this, like, aren't, they'll always lose because, like, drag and gay people and queer people in general will always be around and will always be doing stuff in one way or another. Nothing's going to stop us. So, like, they need to get with the program, and we will keep doing what we do, which is being fabulous and sometimes messy.
I'm just curious to know if people want to call into the telethon. Is it 555 easy that they call, or will you have a different number?
Save the lighthouse.
Oh my God, you should do a GoFundMe that saved the lighthouse.
There's really no should. Lighthouse. There just is no lighthouse.
Oh, and this episode is so draggy that I'm so excited to have you on, because of the Golden Girls episodes, this one, Jesus. Even though there's only one real like big costume, this one feels like a big drag show. This one feels like you, Jackie Beat, you know, Drew Drogi, you're all in like Golden Girls Live. This feels like you're watching a drag Golden Girls show, this episode.
I agree. I'm so excited about it. Yeah, me too.
Should we get to it?
Yeah, let's take a little break skis and then we'll dive in.
Let's do it.
I have to say one thing, it's been a minute since I've watched this episode, and I forgot how many good zingers that Rose has in this episode.
So many.
Every
boy,
line.
When the mask falls off, it really makes a thud.
Her picking up the mic. I mean, there's so many great subtle, well, I hate your hat too. Like, there's so many subtle Rose moments. She's not the star, but she steals her scenes. It's amazing.
Totally.
So amazing. I also, this episode opens with like Dorothy doing what she loves to do on probably a Friday night, you know, lying back on the couch, bowl of popcorn, watching infomercials. And I've realized that like, I'm such a mom now since the last time we covered this episode, because like my perspective has changed. When I saw Dorothy just reclining on the couch with popcorn, watching infomercials, I so badly wanted that for myself. I was like, what a dream. Yes. Because by the time my child goes to bed and I clean all the shit up, like, it's so hard to just like lie on the couch and relax and watch something. I'm so tired. So I just, again, just rewatching these as a parent, I have just new appreciation and perspective on some of these things.
Totally.
I also, go ahead.
She's Oscar. Also in full drag. The very first shot of this. Yeah. It is preposterous. And also Bea Arthur's makeup in season 7 it's like total glow up. Like, she is just it's like my makeup in drag is the exact makeup that she's wearing in this episode. Her hair is done. She's in like a full outfit, full glam, and like laying, quote unquote, on the couch.
She was laying in that hair, like, since we watched this episode the first time, I now recognize that when you're in a wig like that, you don't lay up against anything. There's no laying involved in anything you're doing. And she had hair. It was so 90s. She had some of the hair pushed forward and then some of it spiked back. It was the most helmety hair I've ever seen. I was obsessed. The fact that like she was laying down watching television with a perfectly coiffed hair.
Right, though. That isn't how she would. That actually looked incredibly uncomfortable the way she was lying. Now that I go back and think about it,
she's not comfortable. This is like when I'm in drag and I have a long day and I have like interviews in the morning and something later and I have to take a nap, and you just sort of prop yourself and just like hope for the best and
like Dracula. Just like,
oh yes. Oh, I'm really good at sleeping in drag, and this is very what that is. Girl, if this was real, she would have no makeup on. She'd be in like a sweatsuit. She'd be like me every single moment that I absolutely possibly can. Like fucking laid up. But no, she's in full drag on the couch.
Sometimes when I lay on the couch and I think one of the problems with modern technology is I'll be laying on the couch similar to Dorothy, you know, watching my stories, watching the things, and then I'll bring out my cell phone to check something and I'll go on to Snapchat, and Snapchat does this evil, evil fucking thing where it opens on the camera looking at you.
Take a look at yourself.
So you see yourself and you're just like full chins, like you're in the worst angle possible mm-hmm. to see yourself, and it is frightening. Oh, and that's what I thought about watching this scene, is if Dorothy had a cell phone and she opened Snapchat, she would have the reverse moment of Blanche looking at herself.
I was going to say, Blanche at the mirror.
Yes, she would have that moment. She would have that moment. Yes.
Well, speaking of Blanche, comes out dressed like in a modest blue dress. It's
but so
you know
cute.
It's very cute. It's definitely it gets her outfits get more provocative as the episode goes on, which I'm sure was intentional by Miss Judy. So Blanche wants Dorothy to go to the Rusty Anchor with her because it's nickel beer night. Mm. You know, Dorothy's like, nah, I'm good. Blanche thinks that, you know, Dorothy is staying inside all the time because she has low self-esteem. She doesn't feel great about herself, and she has just the
How insulting is that, though? How insulting is that? The fact that, like if Carrie got on this pod, instead of saying, you know, because during the break we were talking about how great our skin looks, and if Carrie then said, you know, you look tired, like, that you wouldn't do that. That would be offensive. Like, it's wild, the assumptions Blanche was making.
Dorothy was having a self-care night, and this was before that we had the language for self-care. She was like, no, I don't want to go to a bar.
Also, didn't she just date like Sonny Bono or something a few episodes earlier from this? Like, Dorothy's doing fine. Yeah,
she has chronic fatigue syndrome. It's probably, it would behoove her to rest every once in a while.
Lest we forget.
I'd love to play the moment where Blanche has just the fix for Dorothy to pump up that good old self-esteem.
Oh my God. I have a little exercise I do whenever my self-esteem's kind of low. I say my name and then I list three positive things about myself. I'm Blanche Devereaux, I'm beautiful, men find me desirable, and people want to be my friend. Go on, now you try.
Oh, Blanche.
Oh, please.
I'm Dorothy's Bornak. I'm beautiful. Men find me desirable, and people want to be my friend.
Sorry, I confused you, honey. You're supposed to say three positive things that apply to you. You know, like you could say, I'm Dorothy's Bornak. I'm a good speller. And I'm very prompt. And, there's no law that says it has to be three.
Actually, I just thought of a third one. I can snap a friend's neck like a twig.
Wow.
It's so good.
You know what I love about this scene is that at the end of it, she says it's a callback to something, the chucking of corn or something at the beginning. Literally, this is a perfect scene because everything kind of just... Everything you need to know about what happens in this episode basically happens in this first scene, and the rest of it is all just sort of like the craziness that follows. It's just so enjoyable.
Hey, Chal and Scott, can I ask you a question? Did you say chucking corn?
Yeah, chuck the corn.
Shucking.
You shuck it.
You know, at the end of the day, it's corn. It's just corn.
Oh,
it's
what a great thing to put on your tombstone. At the end of the day, it's just corn.
I mean, it's just corn. Who cares what you call it? It's just corn.
Oh, God. I love you so much.
I don't remember eating corn.
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah, step back from the mic for that laugh. That was a good one.
Yes, I know.
So, I for a second want to talk about the Rose and Sophia story. I don't know that I had the questions that I have now that I had the first time we watched this, but so Rose and Sophia are coming back. They just got back from a wake.
Yeah.
Is there a world where Rose and Sophia know a man well enough to go to his wake, but that Dorothy and Blanche wouldn't know him? And wouldn't go or even really care that he died or ask about it. Seems like they have no idea who that person is. And I was just like, in what world do Rose and Sophia have the same friend?
I know. I think I can answer this because I got it immediately. I So we know that Sophia does go and volunteer, you know, the whole Nectarine episode, all the things that she does in a day. Like, she's actually a very busy woman. And we know that also Rose is very active to the point that she needs to win that community service award at the end of the year. Like, she needs it. You know what I mean? So both of these women are probably insanely more active in the community service community than Dorothy or Blanche. Because, you know, Blanche is out fucking and Dorothy's watching the corn documentaries.
And working at the museum.
Is she working at the museum?
Where they've got a couple of new Gauguins.
Because we've seen her at the museum twice. No, so I have a feeling that they probably know this gentleman from, like, you know, the community service moments that they do.
It's a stretch. I'm sure in the writer's room they were like, who cares? It's season 7. No one's gonna rewatch this after 1992. Who cares?
But you also see how much money they spent on this episode, because there are so many actors with lines in this episode that aren't a part of the main cast. Like, this episode, they're just like, it's even season 7. We have so much money. Who cares? Cast everybody.
A lot of extras.
Give them one line. I'm okay with it. Yeah. And
well, I didn't have anything to do today, but I'm still peeved.
Yeah. And then, like, all the men at the bar were talking. They usually just give, like, one man a line. Yeah. And then, like, a dozen men just awkwardly stand there and don't speak.
There are so many people in this episode.
Yeah. There was a great line at the end of this scene where, so the wake that they came from, it was, like, wild. They laid the dude's body out in the living room. A relative got drunk and danced with the corpse.
That happened in New Orleans once, like, a couple of years ago. I remember there was a story where they had, because in New Orleans, you know, they do, like, a whole thing with funerals and stuff. Like, it's more celebratory. Mm-hmm. And they had, I forget the whole thing, but they had the person, like, not stuffed, but, like, set so that she could literally be sitting in a chair and watching the party for her wake. Literally. Like,
it's wild.
Up.
Yeah. I mean, go so, off, I mean, work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever your final wishes may be. but there is a great line where when Blanche wants Dorothy to go to the Rusty Anchor, and she goes, well, what if nobody wants to dance with me? And Blanche goes, well, if there's someone willing to dance with a corpse, surely there'll be someone willing to dance with you.
So perfect.
It's so great. Perfect.
Like, I mean, it's just, and it's also like,
yeah, she just digs at her this whole episode, which is really why with the sweet moment at the end, really, like, it kind of bought it back for a moment. But
you definitely have a payoff there.
So then we're at the Rusty
Nickel
Anchor.
Beer night. What I wouldn't Nickel give for. Oh my God. We used to.
Really? Would you be into that?
Absolutely. In college, this is how fast inflation has taken over. And when I was in college, we had, like, I think it was like quarter, like 25 cent beer night.
Wow.
Yeah. So I remember now that's unheard of.
The lowest it ever got for me was, I remember in Savannah, with Hard-Hearted Hannah.
The Vamp of Savannah.
Yes, of course. In Savannah, in, like, probably, I don't know, anywhere between 2002 and 2005, there were PBR tall boys for $1.50. That was the cheapest I ever remember seeing a beer, but it was the tall boys.
That's a great value.
I remember
in New York, there's this bar called Boiler Room. I used to live down the street from Boiler Room, and they had a happy hour where it was like $2 or $3 vodka sodas or something.
Oh my God.
This was like 2008, maybe 2009. Yeah, insane, insane. And now it's probably what? I don't know how much of, I don't drink anymore, so I don't know what that is. But, like, I'm sure there's a lot of more money involved in vodka sodas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Partying.
I thought
I would go to the Rusty Anchor in a second, because there's something about those old straight dudes who are all just sort of like, if they were into me, if they were legitimately into me, I would milk them for all their money. I would literally take all of their money.
I love that you think they're straight. That's very funny to me.
Well, I was going to ask what you two thought. Like, what is the Rusty Anchor as a bar?
Exactly. The insinuation is that Blanche has, like, slept with a bunch of these guys. And this is, like, Blanche is kind of the only woman who goes there, even though there is one redheaded woman who hangs out in the very back. She's there. And whenever they hire, like, a woman extra in the Golden Girls, she's always got red hair, because none of them have red hair. So, you know, all the other hair colors are
taken. The original
Sadie
Pines. She's the original Sadie Pines.
I'm going to look out for that now.
Always a redhead in the background. There's one redheaded woman at the Rusty Anchor. All the rest are men who love show tunes. Come on.
Right, because there's a piano player. Because I was like, all right, well, if it's a bunch of dudes, again, we're talking like 90s. You want to, you know, you want to cater to a bunch of dudes. You're looking at like a sports bar. But no, it's a bunch of men in a piano bar.
See, now, okay, this is what I think. This is my defense of their heterosexuality. So, because I want this fantasy. So I think that it's sort of like, you know how back in the day, like in the 60s, 70s or 60s, I guess, like Dean Martin and shit would sing like, he sang like a song from Funny Girl, you know what I mean? Like People or something. And like they would do that with show tunes. Yeah. They would like repurpose show tunes and make them sort of like jazz standards. Yeah. What if these dudes, because these dudes are totally of that generation, what if these dudes just wanted a nice little jazz standard of Hard-Hearted Hannah?
Listen, I'm here for it. I just think they're a bunch of gays. Maybe there's a couple straight ones.
Well, the bathroom would they're say gay. Doing... Later on the episode, when we see that bathroom, that's gay.
The ladies' room at this dive bar is palatial.
Yes.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it, because it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing no underwear. Oh, oh.
Literally, when we watched that, Michael sent me a thing. He texted me because he was in the other room, and he was like, if you're ever on Drag Race, that... is your entrance line.
Oh my God.
That is 1000% your entrance line. And it is so true. It is so true.
That's
a really great line.
That's brilliant. And RuPaul would love that. RuPaul loves the Golden Girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Also, why did Dorothy take the theme of the Rusty Anchor literally when she was dressing herself? She is in a sailor costume.
And yes. she has those Chanel earrings that she loves.
We
she's
love
worn them in many
those.
Episodes.
Oh, yeah.
We do.
Yeah, she's got, it's like black and gold nautical. Yeah. It's the mother of a nautical
dancer. If it was Project Runway, they'd be like, it's so literal. Oh my God, you're beating us over the head. We get it. She's a sailor. Oh my God.
I just couldn't believe, and Alaska, maybe this goes to sort of your theory about like what the Rusty Anchor is, because Dorothy sits down and she's trying to have a very pleasant conversation with a man that is, it's not, she is in no way acting bizarrely. She's just, and he gets up and walks away. Yeah. As if to say, no, thank you.
Well, and she's kind of doing what Blanche did at the beginning of the episode, assuming that this man is lonely. Can you imagine going up to a stranger and just saying, are you lonely? Like, because that's what she's doing. It's so inappropriate and uncomfortable.
He does the in-person equivalent of ghosting or blocking, like when you get blocked on Grindr, just all of it. You try to have a nice conversation and then they just disappear. Yeah, that's exactly what
have
it is.
You ever had that happen to you, either of you, where you go up to like flirt with someone and they just like, bye. Like walk away.
I think so. I think I have. Yes. No, I think I have. I remember this one time I like bought a drink for someone and we were like talking and like, I don't know. We had a nice rapport. And then as soon as I bought the drink, they literally disappeared. It was like Homer Simpson going into the bushes backwards.
I had someone, similar situation. I was going to buy a drink for them and he was like, I'll sleep with you if you buy me an Uber home.
Wait, someone said that?
And I was like, yeah, someone said that to me. And I was like, I contemplated it because I'm like, I could afford an Uber and that made me feel better. But I was somewhere in life where I could afford to take care of myself and maybe someone else. But I said no, because it wasn't worth it, because I'm worth more.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think happened before. I think the closest thing was I was like on a first date with a guy when I first moved here. And I was like going to say goodnight after dinner. And I said like, so just very casually, like, so what are you up to tonight? Like, what are you getting up to? And he's like, oh, I have a date. And I was like, oh, okay. Like he was leaving our date to go on another date. That's and I was like, wait, wild. And then the rest of the night on the car ride home, I was like, was that a date I just went on? Or was it something else? Anyway, that's the closest thing I can think of.
That's insane. I have always wanted to walk into a bar like Blanche where literally everybody knows your name. It is. That is
the norm.
Satisfying.
Cheers.
Nice.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is so sad.
She is the norm of the Rusty. She's got a quick line as soon as she walks in.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And then, of course, there's the what'll I do of it all, which is like, I mean, and I know we just talked about this last week because we did the, you know, the most musical moments on the Golden Girls. So we played what'll I do and we talked about it. And, but Alaska, for you, Dorothy's performance of what'll I do, what does that mean to you?
I love it. And I'm just, I think about this being on TV. On what was it, NBC? I don't know.
Yeah, NBC. Yeah.
Just on NBC, millions of people watching at 8 o'clock or whatever. And just it's not laced with laughs. It's just a straight, really beautiful vocal performance from an iconic actor. And like, it was just wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah.
She was like, girl, this show is ending and I'm going to do a one woman show. So this is my proof of concept.
Yes. Yeah, this is her pitch for the producers, for the Broadway producers. Just go watch season 7, episode 20.
I feel like now you bring up a really good point. If somebody were to spend that much time on like allowing an actor to sing an entire song and really like take their time and take those breaths and take those moments, it would almost be considered edgy to do it in on a sitcom today. Totally. Like
it would only,
people would,
it would only
it
happen
out,
on like,
oh, like it's live.
It would only
theater.
Happen on like a prime. It wouldn't happen on a network show. It would only happen on like a Netflix or a Prime or something. Like it wouldn't be able to exist even on a network show at this point.
Yeah. It would just, yeah, it would be considered a risk these days, which is wild.
So wild.
So, yeah, she sings What'll I Do? All the men are enamored, you know, the next morning.
Can we talk before? I need to confront everyone about the next morning.
Can we talk?
So, I love Dorothy's attire. And over the course of our original recap, we talked frequently about Dorothy's attire. However, I did a skim of our episode when we covered this, and I do not believe we talked about this particular outfit, because I can't believe I didn't, because I'm obsessed with it. She is wearing like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air hoodie with a priest collar and a matching vest.
Oh, wait, was she like, in the kitchen?
I'd never seen that outfit before. Yeah, I didn't know how to describe it. I'm so glad you did. I was
it
just
was
like,
literally
this is colorful and wild.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air meets a priest. Like,
totally.
It was so wild. So wild to me. And it was just casual. It was just her day.
It's like Sister Act 2. And she's like one of the kids at the high school in the choir.
Joyful, joyful.
It's very that decor.
Oh, my God. Very much. Very much. Yeah. But this next scene, she had a good time. She had a good time. Dorothy was having fun.
Oh, that little ditty you croaked out. I thought it was cute.
I loved it.
Oh, my God. That's so brutal.
I know, like, come on, Blanche. So then Sophia, this story, it's so wild to me. So
really?
Sophia,
I think it's a great idea. I love it. I want it.
You and I are going to have a discussion. This is going to be another George Clooney debate. Sophia has decided she's going to throw her own wake next week because she wants people to say nice things about her and like, if you're dead, you can't hear all those nice things.
So true.
But it's wildly selfish.
Who cares? So, it's your wake and you're dead. Who cares?
No. So here's what's wild about it. Like, first of all, well, there's a miscommunication as we learn later. And Sophia's friends were supposed to be informed that she was actually alive, but Rose forgot to say that. So they thought it was a real wake.
I made the freaking punch.
Yes. Oh, we'll get to all that. But like, because this is on my mind. So I want to pose this question. But like, I don't know what's weirder, that the women threw a wake for Sophia or that they were planning to throw a pretend wake for Sophia, which is basically just inviting people over and putting them onto the spot to say nice things about you. You know what I mean?
It's called live entertainment. Every single time I'm on a show or I produce a show or I do a show, that is literally part of my wake because it is becoming my legacy. It is becoming what people remember me for. So if you come to one of my shows, you will not only praise me, but you will also give me a dollar and smile as I waddle around the room and try to lip sync.
That would be more appropriate. Like if Sophia was like, I'm going to do like a roast honoring myself because she's like old. Yes. She's up there. Yeah. She's, you know, toward the end of her life. That's totally reasonable. But just like, Or a party that's like wake themed, which I guess is what they were trying to do, but they really did a bad job of doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. The execution was bad. The because Sophia had it all planned. Sophia was doing what we're doing. She had the idea of sort of like surprising everyone and like making it sort of like not surprising, but like making it a special occasion with a dress. She was wearing drag. She was wearing drag. And then Rose came and like was a bad producer. Mm. Rose fucked it all up.
I blame the producer.
But
yeah, I mean, at this point, she's been working for Enrique Mas for how long? I feel like should be a good producer. Although it seems like she really was putting all of the focus on the food because that's her love language, I guess. It's like it's feeding people. So I sort of understand. But anyway, I just thought that was I was like, to me, whichever way you slice the cheesecake, like it's weird and it's sour to me. So
yeah,
I think it's wild. But back at the Rusty Anchor, Blanche.
The outfit?
Yes.
The outfit I just feel like we always have to acknowledge it. Not Alaska has worn this outfit that Dorothy has worn, the green.
Oh, yeah. That's Dorothy's party outfit, honey. She's trying to get laid in that outfit.
She's worn that in multiple episodes and on a television movie that she starred in the late 80s. So this outfit has made the rounds on NBC. Like, this outfit has been all over NBC and at Alaska shows. So I think it's perfect.
I wonder who owns the original.
The outfit? Oh, good point. I don't know. I mean, you know Dorothy probably, or B. Arthur probably, like, lit it on fire or something afterwards. She was like, get this thing off
home.
Me. No, I don't think she cared about the costumes. Blanche did, or Rue McClanahan did, but I don't think B. Arthur did.
It's the outfit, honey. It
really is the outfit, isn't it?
It's the outfit for her to sing 10 seconds of Hard Hearted Hannah. And she's like, I brought music. I'm going to do a song.
I know. And then they just like, they don't allow that. They were like, you already got to sing one. Like, we need to tell a story. But what I did notice this time around was that, so Blanche this time has dressed like a little bit more like provocatively, you know, because she's really trying to get the men's attention.
Yeah. I'm not wearing a bra.
Yes. But I realized she is dressed in black and gold, which is what Dorothy was wearing the previous evening.
Oh, that's good.
Which I hadn't noticed. And I was like, Judy Evans, just the fitting in those little things. I thought I really like that.
That's good.
Yes. And then we do have a quick, I think it's half a second of B. Arthur singing Hard Hearted Hannah that we can listen to.
And some of Blanche.
Blanche,
you seem upset. Is anything wrong?
Oh, no big deal. Just one little thing. I feel like I've died and gone to hell.
She's hard-hearted Hannah, the vamp of Savannah, G.A.
I would love to walk into a room and have a bunch of straight men just applaud for me.
Why are they gotta be straight? Why do you have to? Do you have a hang up about straight men's approval?
No, I don't. But I find this like a Rusty Anchor. It feels like a straight thingy, and I'm like, God, that would be so cool. Just walk in full drag and have all the straight men be like, you know what?
You might. If you walked into Buffalo Wild Wings in full drag and said, hello, everybody, I have sheet music, they might go up.
Not Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's the straightest place I can picture.
I was thinking more like Outback.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Bring me the brown bread.
Get Applebee's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I would love an Applebee's. I love it. I love it. So now we're at the wake.
So before the wake, I just wanted to say the Hard-Hearted Hannah, I do love that they did give B. Arthur another opportunity to sing a song with a little bit more like octane.
Yeah.
They got to bump it up. Before we get to the wake, I actually think we should take a little.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's take a little breaky poopy.
So it's the day of the wake. Well, that is the mood of the living room on Richmond Street.
Do you really think you wouldn't want, like, you wouldn't want to know what people thought of you before you died? Like, you wouldn't want, like, that the loving words and stuff? I would.
I don't think that curiosity To me, it's less important than putting people on, like putting people in that position, either one, to make them think I'm actually dead to fulfill that, or two, sure, to ask my friends again to come to my house for a pretend wake where they're going to say nice things about me.
But it's no different than asking your friends.
It's so embarrassing to ask your friends.
You know
for
what's
that.
More
like,
embarrassing?
Hey,
a wedding.
What you have a wedding for. And by the way, I did not have a wedding. I went to a courthouse.
No. That's the worst. To me, it's more embarrassing to like have a registry and have you assume that people want to spend $100 on you, or like have a baby and assume that people want to spend $100 on a baby. Like, even though I love babies and I love weddings, sometimes I'm like, if I don't know you that well, you're not a best friend, I ain't spending $150 on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was going to say, every time I see you, you give me another gift for Oreo that you got from
Disney. I buy
Disney.
A lot of things for Oreo. I buy a lot of things. I spend a lot of money on little Oreo. But I do that because I actually like her. Whereas there are some babies I don't like, so I'm not spending money on them. The audacity. Whereas
it's the babies. It's not even the parents.
It's not even the
babies.
But it's like, what's so bad about having your friends come over and say nice things about each other? I think that's lovely.
You could do it certainly as an exercise. If you did it as, I mean, if you did have a wedding, you could be like, in lieu of a gift registry, I just want you to write a nice thought about me and then read it in a sharing circle.
See, exactly. Yeah. At my brother's wedding, I had to give a speech. And he was like, that's your gift to me. Just give the speech. And I was like, cool, because I'm paying for the plane to come home too. So yeah, that's my gift to you. And I'm giving this speech, and I give this speech about how, like, when we were kids, I wanted to sleep on the bottom bunk because I knew if a serial killer came in and killed us, they would kill the person at the top bunk because it's probably a man who's tall and who'd probably go for the top bunk first. And then I'd be able to get
terrifying.
Out. I know, but I'd be able to get
this
out.
This isn't the first time we've had this conversation on the podcast.
Yes, true. Be on television, make my family famous, and then get lots of money for my family and survive my family. And so I'm saying that was my gift to my brother, is that speech. And it was a delightful gift, and he loved it. So the wake's not a bad idea. Come over and say nice things about your family.
Well, I think that we should play a very funny exchange between Rose and one of the mourners.
Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice you took several of my tasty, delicious lutefisk puffs, and you've hardly touched them.
I just don't care for them.
Yeah, well, that's an ugly hat.
Damn.
I feel like for the character of Rose, like, this has now been 7 years of the other women making fun of like her giant maple logs and like her Spearhooven crispies and stuff. And this was sort of the straw that broke the herring's back for Rose when it came to insulting her food.
She has gotten saucier, hasn't she? Coming into this last season, going into the Golden Palace, she got saucy.
Yeah, they're so
brutal.
I
made the freaking hors d'oeuvres, and I made the freaking punch, and I made the freaking decorations. Like, it was so good.
Alaska, have you ever, because I mean, you know, part of drag culture and part of just my entire life has always been just sort of like slightly making fun of my friends. Have you ever had a moment where you said something that you thought was going to be funny, but it actually comes out to be a Freudian slip and you just insult somebody?
But I try to be really, I mean, there's a way of delivery. There is an art to the sort of read or the sort of like the insult. And if it's actually funny, it works way better. But, sometimes they don't work for sure.
Yeah. My mother has the best reads. Just last night we were talking on the phone and she was talking about somebody who I'm going to visit my family next week after Golden Con in Chicago. And someone's coming to visit and my mom was like, yeah, I haven't seen them in like a year, but the celebrities are coming to town. So it works, you know? And I was like, and that's all she said. And I was like, you insulted both me and this other person in the same sentence. And she didn't even know it. I love it. I love it.
I love your dynamic with your mother. You two are very sweet together.
Just rude to each other.
I love it.
Myrtle, do some of those impressions you're known for. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah. She was so upset. upset. Oh,
yeah. And who's Klaus von Bülow? I know that you've discussed this before on this podcast. I know you must have. Is he the one that the baby died or something?
Oh, you're right. We did have a thing on that. Yeah. No, I don't know if we've like gotten to the full. I don't remember the full details about Klaus, but I do remember that we did discuss it.
Was it Lindbergh baby? Am I making that up?
No, it wasn't. You're right, though. There is.
Hold on, do you want to look it up for a second? I will go on. I love when Sophia comes out and they all realize she's alive and a woman like dramatically faints in a chair. And Sophia says, well, excuse me for buying off the rack.
Klaus von Bülow. This is what it was. Klaus von Bülow. We did discuss it before because it was based on, I believe it was the Glenn Close movie in 1990 where like her husband's trying to kill her or something and she gets into a coma. But Klaus von Bülow was, he was attempted murder, or he was convicted of both an attempted murder of his wife, Sonny von Bülow, which had left her in a temporary sort of like coma.
So that's why when Myrtle says, I didn't even know she was sick, what happened? That's why the response is Klaus von Bülow. Okay, see.
Yes, because the movie had just come out because Jeremy Irons won the Oscar for Best Actor for it as Klaus von Bülow.
Wow.
Well,
the more you know.
Speaking of dated references, when we get back to the Rusty Anchor.
Very dated.
And when Dorothy walks in and she's kind of taken over Blanche's energy and they're like, Dorothy, what's your pleasure? And she goes, Claude Akins on a waterbed. Oh, but until then, a beer will do. I heard Clay Aiken and I was like, hang on.
Yes.
Also, if and you look at Claude Aiken.
Claude Aiken?
I want you all, if you are in front of a computer, Google, or anyone listening right now, Google Claude Akins and you will have the best laugh of your life. That's the image that Dorothy inspired.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, is he from...
He was attractive. He did have like a moment of sort of, you know, gritty hotness.
He's a type for sure.
I feel so bad because of our age. It's like these are probably like incredibly celebrated performers, and here I am going Clay again. But he definitely he looks like Dorothy's type. Like
right.
He
looks tall, like kind of rugged,
like Glenn number one. Yeah. A little.
I don't know. He looks more like Sophia's type. You know what I mean? He looks a little bit. He looks just a little more Sophia-y, but that's just
Claude Akins on a waterbed. BJ the Bear. He's from the sheriff.
Have you guys ever slept on a waterbed? Have you slept on a waterbed before?
I've been on one. I don't know if I slept on it.
I hooked up with someone once on a waterbed, and it was the weirdest night of my life, and not because of the sex, because of the waterbed. I have never... Trying to have sex on a waterbed and then trying to sleep on a water... I was so sore the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, my muscles weren't used to, like, the water. It was very strange.
My mom had one for years, and I never understood it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wild trend. Maybe they're due for a comeback.
No.
They're terrible for your body, surely. No.
Don't do it.
I don't know. Gwyneth Paltrow will find a way. Just wait.
Yes, please.
She'll You're not find that a way. Small. There's going to be some kind of health thing, and it's the thing that's in the water that somehow like goes into your skin while you're asleep and your hair and all that shit.
And Claude Akins will sleep on it.
Yes.
That'd be hot. A goop ad with Claude Akins.
Goop it.
So Blanche is determined to win back the men at the Rusty Anchor. She's going
if it's the last thing she does. She actually says that, like, if this kills me today, I'm still gonna do it.
And this is Blanche's version of her wake. She's gonna make everyone know that she is the one.
I'm
here for it. I'm fully here for it. Also, last year at Golden Con, I wore this outfit. Michael made me. The Blanche-inspired version
gorgeous.
Of this outfit. It was the reveal from the wedding dress to this outfit. But yes, it was a high peak drag moment for me. It's on Instagram. You can look
at it. That's major.
So, Alaska, I'm going to ask you again, just like with What'll I Do, with Blanche's performance of I Want to Be Loved by You, what are your thoughts, your feelings about this very iconic performance of Blanche's?
Especially as a live singer. You sing live.
Well, as a live singer, I can, I mean, That microphone is at many times not anywhere near her mouth. She's doing a lot of choreography. Like, if she's using this microphone, she's like doing a lot of choreography, and the mic goes over, the hand with the mic goes over there. And then she, and I don't know if that's in, if that's intentional, like to add to the sort of badness of the performance, but that mic, just watch the mic tracking next time you watch this performance, because it's really all over the place. About four of the 37 words are actually spoken into the microphone.
You know what's funny about that too? When she came over, before she jumped on the guy's lap, no, before she, the guy who had the gun, before she was doing that, there was this one guy that she choked with the microphone cord, and he, probably the worst extra ever, because he was literally, so she walked over and she was kind of like, yeah. He was like, yeah, give me the cord. And he grabbed the cord so that he could prepare himself to then hold it to his neck as she passed by. It was the worst extra acting I think I've ever seen.
See, I believe, first I thought that actor, every time I see that actor, I always think it's the guy who played Blossom's dad on Blossom,
Oh, yeah.
I'm willing to bet, though, he was a
stuntman. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you really think so? Mm-hmm. Just to do this? Just to hold the mic at his neck?
He was a stuntman. That's a little bit more. You'd be surprised at what they bring in stunt performers for.
Wow.
There are union rules. Yeah.
He ran off real quick for being a stunt performer. I'm just
saying. This is a very dangerous act as well. I mean, there's a flying shoe. There's like the tangling of the cords. Someone gets strangled. There's a gun. In the laws of Chekhov, if there's a gun on stage, it must be shot.
It's Florida, Alaska.
Right, exactly. That was my bit when I did this in a show. It was always...
Oh, really?
I would always go into the audience, and it would always be like the most exaggerated fake, like Nerf gun, like bright color, like very... Just because like we live in the world we live in.
Yes.
And I would pull the gun out, and I'd hold it up, and I'd be like, oh my God, honey, you can't have that in here. Where do you think we are, Florida?
I love it. And the way she swings that mic, I mean, I literally was so afraid for everyone in that room swinging the mic. So afraid. Yeah.
Well, it feels like it when Blanche says basically like, I'm going to do this if it kills me. Like she knew that there was going to be a lot of danger in what she was doing.
And the way she just throws it.
That's what I was. Yes. Like,
just take it.
She throws it hard at Betty White.
Yeah. Yeah. The oldest cast member. We need to take care of her.
I just love when Rose, the time that Rose takes to actually, the moment where she's, you could see her processing of like, I'm looking around, like nobody would notice if I just tippy tap. And then she's like, I'm just going to try stand
her
up.
Tight 10.
She's going to do a tight 10.
So obsessed.
Out of context.
I got my
comedy,
tight 10.
The best kind.
If you ever need it, just call me up. I'll give you my tight 10.
But then that's why Dorothy did stand up, because Blanche was doing, or Rose was doing it at the Rusty Anchor and taking the attention away from her. And so now Dorothy has to do stand up.
True.
So this is where we get into the palatial bathroom.
What?
Where?
Yeah. Fuck. That bathroom is the size
Caesar's
of the bar.
It's the Caesar's Palace of bathrooms. Yes, it really is. It really is.
And it didn't need to be for that blocking. They were just they were just doing mirror acting, putting on, you know. And I love, and I know we talked about this last time we recorded this episode, but I feel like mirror acting has got to be a little difficult when you're pretending to like reapply makeup and you're looking at yourself and you're just staring at an audience member or like at a camera guy or gal. And I feel like that's going to be hard, but these two women are pros.
I'd be so good at it. I'd be so good at it because I'm already blind when I'm doing makeup. Like literally there are times that I have to take my glasses and go like this just to look if I'm doing a line right. And they literally, I would just be like, it's going to look the same whether I can see myself or not. So let's just do the makeup.
I love that. Yeah, they're really good at mirror acting. Bea Arthur does the like little like lip corner, like,
It's like she's eating.
Oh,
cheese
no, day. Honey, I don't know that song. Oh, no.
They're so good at those little moments. Like, I love any moment where the women are sitting at the kitchen table and Blanche is fiddling with an olive before she like puts it in her mouth. Oh, I love those little things that they do. It's like
so good.
It's little so cherry good. On top of the cake. So, you know, of course, like Blanche is pissed at Dorothy because the rusty anchor is my place, not yours. And I love the exchange they have when Dorothy's like, you begged me to come down here, you know, to get a life. And she goes, well, I didn't mean mine. And it just, we've talked so much about on this podcast about like Blanche's vanity and her insecurity and the fact that she slings insults at the other women, you know, just as a way, I think, to, you know, to just, she doesn't want to be vulnerable and, you know, professing her own insecurities. Yeah. And she's deflecting. Yeah. And there is a, I think we pulled a clip of a really, it's always nice when Blanche, like, it peels back the layers a little bit and she kind of lets us see what's beneath the surface.
All right, the truth is, I'm jealous of you. Oh, God, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Blanche, what are you talking about?
Dorothy, the one thing in my life I've always been assured of is being the center of attention. Well, I knew I never had to worry about competing with any other woman because I'd always win. But when I saw you sing the other night, I realized why all those men were practically falling all over themselves to get to you. Because, Dorothy, when you sing, you light up the room. You do. You positively glow. You just, you're beautiful.
I mean, it's one of those things that, like, when a friend recognizes something in you that, like, you're proud of, but, like, you don't want to gloat about it or anything. It's a nice feeling. It's a nice sort of, you know, like when a friend comes to a show and they see you doing what you do well and they like it and they're surprised by it. It's just nice. It's just nice. It's just so nice.
Yeah, it was a really sweet moment. Usually when I compliment you, I'm not being sincere.
And she's being completely honest when she says that.
Which you can only be like that with your best friends. You can literally only say those kind of things that you're admitting that you're not sincere because you know your friend's going to take it and jest and not like hold it against you. And
yeah,
it's just it really shows how tight of a friendship and a bond, particularly Blanche and Dorothy have, because they are, in their eyes, the most sane ones of the house. They're the ones who keep it together. They're the responsible, quote unquote, the responsible ones. Whereas Rose and Sophia kind of have their own show going on.
And Blanche is about to inherit a hotel and have to run it. So she is, you know, she's getting her act together at this point.
She needs that. She needs to be responsible. Yeah. Exactly. No, I loved this scene and I loved the ending of it. And I love even at the end, Blanche still kind of giving it to Dorothy, making her look like a fool, being like, good, we'll do that one to a song that Dorothy doesn't know. It's cute. It's you want her to be that vain, you know?
Yeah, it was, you know, she let her guard down for a second and now we know it's gone back to status quo. It's right back up there and you know, yeah, and Dorothy is here for it and she loves her for it. I also thought that the tag of this episode was just more of Dorothy singing Hard, Hard and Hannah.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like B. Arthur was like, I feel like they didn't give me, I can't do B's voice obviously as well as
I want to do the whole song.
And they were like, we'll put it in the
I
tag.
I want the
like,
tag. How much, the whole tag.
How much do you think, do you think she was barefoot singing? And absolutely. How much do you think they paid for this music? They probably paid a lot of money.
Girl, that Hard, Hard and Hannah is free reign.
I was going to say, royalty if it's like 100 free. Years old, it's fine.
Public domain, honey.
Yeah.
Also,
I don't know.
Also, the moral of the story is, you know what? Two women cannot coexist in a place. They have to split it up and never, never absolutely see one another in another space. That's the solution.
I mean, when we went to the Queerties like a couple of weeks ago,
of a child.
Alaska was a big winner at the Queerties, and I went to support my good friend Tenderoni, who was nominated at the Queerties, past guest on this podcast, and I went with Naomi, and I specifically told Naomi because Tenderoni she's a drag king, so it's not coming. She's not coming from my gig of our friend group when we go out together. But I told Naomi, you can't come in drag. You cannot, because I have to be the pretty one of the group. Like, I have to be. And guess what? I was the only one of our group who went and dragged. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I will say, you. I'm not going to spoil what our couple's costume is going to be at Golden Con.
Oh my God.
But out of the two of us, one of us really shines in a spotlight, while the other one does not as much. And our costumes reflect that.
Hey, if you live with the person making the costume, you get the cream of the crop.
No, I am very excited to be the accessory to your fabulous, one of your fabulous outfits that you have prepared.
I can't wait to see what this is.
Oh, you're going to love it. We'll tell you during the break. But let's take a little break and we'll come back with our golden takeaways. And Alaska will help us end this episode, as she should. We are back with our golden takeaway, which is a nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your life or the lives of our listeners. Now, Alaska, we'll let you think about this. You'll go last because you're our guest. So, Carrie, what's your golden takeaway from this episode?
I'm actually, if it's okay with the two of you, I would like to hijack today's golden takeaway and propose that we each say three good things about ourselves.
Wow.
Oh, it's like our own little wake. Oh, I love it. Wait, we have to say good things about ourselves or each other?
About ourselves, like Blanche did.
The affirmation.
Oh.
Yeah.
The self-esteem exercise. Yeah.
I was going to say,
my position is not to put friends on the spot to say nice things about you, but I like that that's how you interpreted it, because that is your that is your preference.
I am Blanche. I mean, Sadie is Blanche.
I will start. Okay, I'll give you a minute to think about it. I think three good things about myself. One, I think I can always identify ADR in a movie or a TV show.
Oh.
And I feel like that's a really great talent. And I feel like when I point it out, sometimes people say, oh, that's interesting. But I think of it as a talent. So that's something good about myself.
I love that.
Two, I make a really great roasted chicken with vegetables in the roasting pan that like roast in like a juice. It is, I make a really good, I'm like a rose gonna roast a chicken. And three, I'm gonna just say it. I think I'm a really good mom. So there.
Oh, wow. I love that.
That's sweet. Okay, I'll go. You are a good mom. You are a very good mom. Three good things about me. I always have the thing. You know what I mean? Like if we're out and doing a thing and if you need some gum, you need a mint, you need hand sanitizer, you need some lip balm, you need the thing. This bag, these bags have all the
She's
things.
Got the mom bag.
You're a mom. The mom That's bag. Great. You're a mom.
I am the mom bag. I meticulously am prepared for any situation. So there's
I
that.
Love
there's
that. That.
My other thing is I say no very easily, which I think is a good thing about me because I don't overextend myself then. Sometimes I do, but like it took me a long time, many, many years to be able to get to a place in my life where I could openly just say, no, it's not for me, but thank you. Like, and not feel stress about it. So that's a good thing. And then the last thing about me is that, oh God, well, I think that I am a giving friend out of drag. But when I'm in drag, I am the least giving person possible, and I will do what I need to be able to get the attention that I feel I deserve.
I'm so excited to go to Golden Con with you now, because you and I have never hung out together.
I'm just going to say this. I was texting you the other day, and then I realized afterwards it's the most audacious thing ever. But there's an event happening at Golden Con, and we were like talking about going to a thing, but we weren't scheduled for it. And I like texted Carrie being like, when a 6'3" drag queen, fat drag queen walks into a room, it's going to take away all the attention away from whatever they're planning in the room, because I'm that big and I'm that obnoxious. So they need to plan for that and coordinate with me, literally. And then after I sent it, I immediately was like, wow, I would think that much of myself.
I mean, it's kind of true though.
But it is true.
You have to be aware of like, well, a lot of attention is going to be skewed from the.
Yeah, you suck up the attention when you're that big and you're that obnoxious and the hair is that big and all the things are big, you know? Yeah. Anyway, Alaska, what's your
My name is Alaska. I enjoy drinking nickel beer. I like wearing ugly hats. And I only go to bars on Sundays because the men are drunk and rowdy.
Oh, my God.
This was so much fun. Oh, my God. Alaska, of course, you're going to be in Tennessee doing amazing things, but can you tell us a little bit about what's up with mom? What's up with you? What's everything that's happening in the world that people should be paying attention to involving you?
I don't know. Listen to the podcast and I don't know. Yeah. Come see us in Tennessee. It's going to be great.
April 13th, I love hot goss.
I think. Yeah.
I love you and Willem's hot goss every week. I mean, it's sort of like The View. It's like, because you sometimes watch The View. We text about The View. It is literally my weekly View, and I'm determined to be on it someday. I will.
Okay.
I will be, but only to like set the news like record straight. Like if you guys ever get anything wrong with facts and stuff, because that's what I love texting you being like, no, yeah. So
you can,
I'll be the correspondent.
You can be our Joy Behar.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Forget about it. It's fine.
I feel like you talk about Joy Behar a lot on this podcast. So that just really seems.
I love Joy Behar so much. Cool. Oh, guys. So yes, as you know, we are part of Mom, and you can follow us on social media at Golden Girls Pod on Twitter, Out on the Lanai Official on Instagram, Golden Girls Pod on Facebook, and I am Sadie Pines, NHL and Scott on everything.
And I am Squidzy on Instagram and Squid Eat Squid on Twitter. And Alaska, where can people find you on all the social medias?
Oh, I think my Instagram is at the only Alaska 5000.
Yes.
Yeah. Use that one. I just got verified on TikTok, but I never use it. Someone posts things on it on my behalf, but I don't know how to do all that.
All right. So Instagram is the place to go. Yeah. And we're all going to lose our blue check marks in like 2 days on Twitter. So, but you can find us there too. And everyone, please rate and review us wherever you get the podcast, because the more ratings we get, the more the show will get bumped up and the more people will discover it and join our lovely kick-ass community of Golden Girls fans. And thank you all so much for listening today.
And as always,
remember,
stay golden.